Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So, in a year fraught with discussions of attachment parenting, which culture raises children best, and the eternal so-called mommy wars, Jessica Valenti is taking a step back to ask, should you procreate at all? In her new book, Why Have Kids?, she examines expectations of how children will change your life and the feelings of disappointment and frustration that can result from actually having them. Valenti joins us now. She is a writer, founder of the blog Feministing.com, and the mother of a toddler, we should add. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So someday your kid is going to grow up and look back and say, gosh, when I was three or whatever your child is, Mom, you wrote a book called Why Have Kids?
I think she'll forgive me.
You write that women and men are often surprised and disappointed by the realities of parenting. Where does the expectation that kids equal happiness come from, and why is it so persistent?
You know, it's a relatively new phenomenon, actually. It's a modern idea that somehow parenthood should fulfill us completely, that children should bring us joy. We used to have children to kind of help out on the family farm or to help out in the family store to raise good citizens. And now there's this idea that children are like our little soulmates. And it's a tremendous expectation to put on children, but also to put on ourselves.
Is it taboo to express dissatisfaction with parenting? I don't even have to ask that as a question. It is taboo to express.
It is taboo. I think there's kind of, you know, a cool mom trend of saying, oh, you know, I have a drink on the playground, that sort of thing. But it's certainly taboo to say, you know, I don't know if I made the right decision. This is not all I expected it would be. This is much more difficult. I didn't love my child right away. And these are all things that parents I spoke to said, but of course, you know, would not say on the record or with their name.
You can love your child, but not love your life necessarily post-kids.
Absolutely. You know, it's really difficult. We kind of idealize parenting in America, but we give parents very, very little in the way of structural support.
You write that the parenting debate, instead of being about the choice not to have children, if people make that choice, should instead be about the decision to have children. What's the difference?
I think there's a big difference. Right now we see parenthood as kind of the default expectation for people rather than a proactive decision. And really it should be a proactive decision. You see a lot of people without children who get asked, well, why not? Why aren't you having kids? You should be having kids. But really, they're kind of just maintaining the status quo. It's people who are bringing kids into the world who maybe should be asking themselves, why have kids?
So, listeners, if you have made the decision not to have kids, or if you really thought about it and went through a process instead of just having a default position and decided to have kids after really weighing it, how did you arrive there? What sort of feedback have you gotten if you've decided not to? And have you ever second-guessed your choice one way or the other? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Jessica Valenti, author of the new book, Why Have Kids? Do you think it's necessary to maintain this concept of babies as a bundle of joy? Or otherwise we would just have, you know, we would stop having kids altogether because they're not economically necessary to work the farm like they were hundreds of years ago?
No, I don't think it's necessary. I think that most people are going to have children, you know, no matter what the expectation. I do think, though, that having this expectation that children are going to fill your lives with complete joy all the time is a dangerous one, especially when the reality doesn't meet that ideal. I think a lot of parents, mothers especially, are kind of filled with this guilt and anxiety about, well, why don't I feel this tremendous joy? Is there something wrong with me? Am I a bad parent?
In your other books, such as The Purity Myth, you've looked at the way that societal ideals can oppress women. Is there an oppressive element to the overly idealized image of parenting for women especially that you wanted to address with this book?
I do think so. And, you know, something I've been thinking about a lot lately with the book is this idea that motherhood in particular is women's most important and most valued role, that we should be a mother above all else, that we're mothers first and people second. And you can kind of see this theme emerging a lot in politics lately, and culture as well, certainly.
What do you think is new about this conversation today? Because since the 1970s, I would guess, you know, this conversation has been out in our culture, certainly among feminists. Do I have to have kids? Maybe I shouldn't have kids.
Yeah, you know, I think what's new is that a lot more people are talking about it, and a lot more people are interested in talking about it because of the advent of the internet. Moms are sharing in ways that they've never shared before. They're talking about issues they maybe are embarrassed to bring up in kind of in-person mommy groups. So there's a lot more conversation happening, and a lot more sharing happening. I think the biggest problem, though, the one hurdle that we haven't really overcome, is that we still see this as a personal issue and not a political issue. We think of parenthood and raising our kid as an individual endeavor rather than a community one.
Randy in Westchester, you're on WNYC with Jessica Valenti. Hi.
Hi, thanks. Great show. I came to the decision to have kids very late in life and also to get married very late in life. And I think that you just go through a natural progression, and when you're ready, you do it. I have an 18-year-old son now, and he keeps telling me he would never get married. He'd never have kids. And I tell him, just wait.
Thank you very much. Elizabeth in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. I made the decision not to have kids because of the overpopulation situation on the planet. That was, like, the first and foremost decision. Which, you know, isn't easily said politely in
right.
companies. So I don't usually say that.
Was it easy for you to do it for that reason, though, because you didn't care so much about having a child yourself? Because there are some people who are just dying to become parents who might know that there's an overpopulation problem, but it would cause such stress for them.
I think that there has to be a change in thinking that even though I might want this thing so much because I did want a family and I might want children, sure, but I was vacillating between the huge pull on ever-dwindling resources and this thing that I wanted. So maybe if more parents spoke up about how they really felt about parenting, it would, you know, make people feel okay about letting go of this thing that they want so much in favor of a larger consideration. I don't know.
Elizabeth, thank you so much. And I think that Julie in Brooklyn may have gone through a similar process but come out the other side. Julie, is that right?
Yes. My husband and I decided not to have children after, you know, a great deal of thinking. And really felt that it was kind of the best for us and the best sort of politically and personally, but have been surprised by how many people regard us almost as selfish for having made that decision. We're both educators and find that we have to reassure people like, yes, we actually really love children. It just wasn't something we felt was right for us.
So and you also, I see, you. I misread synopsis of your call. I thought you had decided to have kids, but you also decided not to have kids, but not so much for planetary reasons as for your own personal preferences.
Yes, exactly. Well, and also politically as well. I mean, I think I just really appreciate Jessica's work on this topic because I think she delves into a lot of the perspectives that we took into consideration when we made our decision.
Thank you very much. So, Jessica Valenti, what do you think about some of the calls that we're getting? And I was really taken by Elizabeth's, especially because she took into consideration, it sounds like, concerns that were global, not just her own preference.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And, a lot more people are thinking about questions like the ones that, you know, Elizabeth are thinking about than in years past. But most of the people I spoke to for the book who were child-free did so because of personal preference. And it was amazing, this idea of selfishness did come up quite a bit for people, which seems very bizarre, logically, again, because child-free people are just kind of maintaining the world as it is. But when you think that the most important thing women can do, the most important thing that people can do is raise children, then, of course, there's going to be this kind of cultural backlash to the idea that they're not interested.
And, of course, if somebody wants kids personally but thinks there's a big overpopulation problem in the world, they can adopt.
That's right. That's true. Another political reason that I talk about in the book, there were some women I spoke to and some feminist writers have blogged about this, that they've decided not to have children because they feel like in America motherhood has become so enforced through anti-abortion legislation that they don't even think that they can make that decision freely and without political and cultural influence.
Mohammed in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mohammed.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I have three daughters, and my first two were twins, and then I'm very disappointed because I only wanted sons. So I'm wondering whether I should have tried at all. So.
Wow, that's a tough position to be in. Don't tell your daughters. Mohammed,
okay.
Thank you very much. Well, that was a candid person, Jessica.
That was a candid person, though I wouldn't mention it to his daughter, certainly.
You get the family you get, right?
Exactly.
Jennifer in Fairfield, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the expectations, like the writer said, you know, and having a child are much different than actually having a child, and about the pressures. Now I have a 3-year-old from outside sources to have a second child. Exactly. I love my child, but it was not exactly as I expected. I had romanticized the whole, you know, the birthing process and the first few years, and it would be so wonderful. And it has been, but it was a really hard road. And I think it's just as important of a decision to decide whether to have a second as to have a first. And now that you know, even though there are a lot of outside pressures, parents, in-laws, friends, why don't you have a second? I think it's a really important decision.
What do they say? Do you want your child to have to grow up alone? Don't you want your child to have a playmate?
Exactly.
They're just going to fight for 18 years anyway. Jennifer, thank you. Do you write about that in the book, Jessica?
I don't write so much about having second children, but it's certainly a really interesting point. I think that parents, when they are considering having a second child, they're going into it a little bit with their eyes more open, I suppose. But, you know, it's interesting for me. I also, my kind of expectations of parenthood were dashed because my daughter was born prematurely and had health problems the first few months of her life. So at first, I really wanted to have a second child so I could do it right this time. I've since kind of given up on that idea, but I think it can go either way when you're thinking about second children.
What about the idea that families take care of each other, that in an era of a fraying safety net, and of course, a lot of countries in the world don't have a safety net at all, and, you know, people in China are debating a world without any siblings or cousins, for that matter, with the one-child policy. Is that a consideration that you deal with in the book?
You know, something I write about in the book that I think is really important is that we've lost this idea of, you know, it takes a village and families supporting each other and community support rather than just individual support. You know, just last week Mitt Romney said that he thinks it's important that one parent stay at home with children. And it's not hard to imagine which parent he meant when he said that. Mm. But I think it's really interesting that we still have this idea that the best thing for kids is one parent staying at home with them, preferably women, rather than a community of adults helping to raise children.
Well, a piece of a conversation that I think will go on as long as there are human beings having children and not having children. The book by Jessica Valenti is called Why Have Kids? A New Mom Explores the Truth About Parenting and Happiness. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.